Hey guys, welcome back. You have made it through the theoretical part of today, and now we get into the fun stuff. Not that the other stuff wasn't fun, but this is where we get to actually build an application, right? You've heard us talk about all day about kind of concepts and a bunch of stuff, and hopefully we'll take some of those concepts and actually show you building an application. So we're going to build a simple web application today with ASP.NET MVC, and we will walk through that one, and then we will, at the end of that, we'll break, and then we'll come back for the last module of the day, which is building a mobile application. Mm-hmm. So that is it, and it is now time to close PowerPoint slides, unless everybody wants many more PowerPoint slides, but otherwise, I am about to close that, and I'm going to fire up Visual Studio. And this is hopefully where we'll spend the rest of this module. So what we're going to do here is we're going to build a simple web application using MVC, right? And I've started off with a project, but I've done no work in this project yet. This is just the initial scaffolding of kind of going through Visual Studio's new web project. So you go Visual Studio, and you come in here and you create an ASP.NET web application. You want to log in over here, and this is the reason it's asking you to log in here is that this enables then some integration into some of the Azure features. So like Visual Studio can then go ahead and it can deploy web apps for you and mobile apps and SQL databases and all of those kinds of things. So go ahead, log in. It'll come up over here. You can do things like add application insights, and you can send telemetry, and you can do a bunch of things. So normally what you would do is you'd go ahead and you'd say, go, and there's different kinds of web applications. Pick your MVC one, right? Because this is an app that's actually got some forms on it. Pick that. You can come in here and you can choose your different kinds of authentication. Just for this app, I chose no authentication, but you can go ahead and if you do Windows Auth and you know organizational, you can hook it into Azure Active Directory and all sorts of cool, funky things over there. I'm just going to go with no authentication. And then over here, if you want at the end of this to deploy a website to Azure, you then just come and configure this. And you can choose whether you want to deploy the resulting application as a website or a web app or a virtual machine, right? Because there's multiple ways. So we'll just choose website because that's like the easiest way to do it. Once you do that and you click go, it'll go off and it'll... When you hit that button on Visual Studio, it actually closes Visual Studio. So I just wanted to demonstrate that button worked. but once Visual Studio has gone through the scaffolding of creating up a new project, this is what you'll end up with, a blank, empty, nothing project. And if I run it now, you'll see it'll just kind of come up with the standard local host, and it'll just be the normal boilerplate ASP.NET. So just to show you there was no kind of smoke and mirrors and you know there's no extra things hiding away here, we're going to add all of that right now. So the first thing I want to do with MVC, and I always think it's kind of cool how it's named because generally where I start with this, the M stands for model, and the first thing I go and do usually is add a model, right? So this is what actually you start off with. You don't have to start here, but this is where I'd start. So I'm going to add a model called item, okay? And this is what's gonna define what my actual item looks like, the thing that I'm gonna work with in my application. Now, because I have major kind of stage fright issues, I can't generally type when one person's watching me, let alone 300 odd people. So what I'm gonna do for this is I have a number of code snippets that I've prepared. So I'm gonna walk through the code snippets and I'll tell you all the kinds of things that I'm busy doing inside the code snippets. So if we have a look, I've just replaced what was created, the item, with some stuff, right? So now I actually have an item, and you'll see that there's some red squiggly lines here. Don't kind of be concerned about that. That's just saying that, hey, this thing doesn't know about that. And all you have to do in Visual Studio is just kind of say right-click, resolve, and use Newtonsoft, okay? Because this JSON property is what controls the Newtonsoft JSON.NET. When we serialize this object, how it's going to get serialized on the wire, right? And then how the wire object gets deserialized back into a .NET object. It's just these little attributes that mark up the language.
And ID there is special, right?
Yeah. So ID here is special. Every document here needs to have an ID. And if you didn't have an ID, we'd actually create one for you and we'd assign it. I've just got it in there because it was part of my object. You can see you can do funky things like the property name is called description, but on the wire it's actually disk. And you can, so you can change the name completely. You can do all sorts of funky things with those attributes.
And you can use this to save storage space on the database.
Yeah, you know, if I save, because JSON is a self-describing language, you know, if my field was called this, you know, is my description, that's a perfectly valid field name, right? But that takes up a lot more storage than just kind of saying that is the other extreme. Obviously, you don't necessarily want a whole bunch of documents with just, you know, labels like D. So try and be a little bit descriptive, and that's why I went for something like disk, all right, because it sort of makes sense what it is. And that's all you really need for the model. That's now my model. That's good. It's done. So I'm just going to close out of that for now, right? The second part that I want to do with this is actually create a controller. And a controller in MVC is the whole thing that controls the behavior and presents the user with views and then, you know, interacts with the model and that kind of stuff. So the next thing I want to do is just go and add in a controller. And I'm going to go say add new controller, okay? And ASP.NET gives me a bunch of pre-canned scaffolded types of controllers. And the controller I want to pick up here is controller empty, right? And I'm just going to go add that. And it asks for a name, and I'm going to call this item controller. Now, for those that haven't worked with MVC before, MVC is one of these languages or frameworks that are by convention, right? So just calling something item controller actually means something to MVC. It means that it's going to be the controller for something called item, okay? And you'll see later when I create views, just placing the views in a special folder means that MVC knows how to wire things up and knows how to navigate and bind and route and all that kind of stuff. So by just kind of following some of the conventions, you can get ASP.NET to do, I mean MVC to do a lot of stuff for you without actually writing a lot of code. Right, so that's the controller. All right, we're not gonna do anything to the controller at the moment. It's just a nice kind of simple controller. So let's just close that one away. And what I wanna do now, you see, by adding that controller, it's already kind of created this blank folder down here called item. So it knows that I'm probably going to want some views with this controller, because that's what a controller does, right? It serves up the views. So right-click on that views and say add a new view. And in here, I can give the view a name. So I'm going to call this index. And they have some templates for us, right? So the list template is the one that I'm going to pick for this one. And then I'm going to go along and pick the model that I already have, all right? And it wants to know, should I use a layout page? So yeah, I'm gonna go off and I'm gonna use, under views, shared, there's a layout page. So I'm gonna go use that as my shared page. And that just kind of means that all my pages will look the same and they'll use the same theme and layout and that kind of stuff. So that's all I have to do. And if I hit go, you'll see that Visual Studio actually came on and built a full form for me, okay? It knows that it's a strongly typed form. It knows how to bind up the controls. It knows what my action links should be. All of that stuff's just done for me, all right? And so that's kind of what you want to do with that. So let's just start with that view for now. So we have a model, we have a controller, and we have a view. So now we actually want this thing to do something, all right? And because we're going to work with a database, one thing I want to do here is I'm just going to add in a repository, right? So something that'll actually go and work with all my data for me. So I'm just gonna, I like to kind of put, you don't have to create the subfolder, you could put your repository anywhere you want, but I kind of just put it in there. So I'm gonna create a new project, a new class file in here, and I'm gonna call this document DB repository, right? I hope I spelled that right.
Yep.
I did. All right, document DB repository. All right, and that's the document DB repository that we're gonna do a whole lot of work to. Okay. One thing that I actually want to do here is I just want to go along and go back to one of my code snippets, and we're going to go in here and let's take a look at, we'll start off with kind of, that's going to be the basis for my repository, right? Now you can see that it's moaning about the fact that it doesn't know what Microsoft.Azure Documents is. And I'm guessing that's because I have not yet pulled in my You can see I have not yet pulled in the DocumentDB references, NuGet. Right? Mm. So to do that, I'm just going to go off to NuGet, and I'm going to go along and I'm going to install the DocumentDB client repository. Now you can see I'm getting it from local, and that's just because this is the 1.0 version that we're only going to publish
tomorrow
or tonight. However, if I wasn't doing this and I kind of went along here, how you would get to it is you would go DocumentDB and go search and
stable releases.
Sorry, include previews because it's currently a preview. So you'll see down there, there is our library. Now, as of tomorrow, you won't need to do include pre-release anymore. It'll come up as a stable one over there. But for now, I'm just going to pick the private drop of it that I'm using from here. So install that. You'll see it will take a dependency on JSON.NET. And if you have a look now at references, there it is, it's sitting there. And the little red squiggly line's gone, right? It means it understands what that thing is. And all this class does is you'll see it's a DocumentDB repository. It takes in a generic type, okay, where the type is any kind of class, right? So that's what I want to do there. What I want to do here is I also want to add some kind of internal properties into this class, right? So if I go along to insert some snippets again, so I don't have to try and type this. The first one that I'm going to do is this one. Now, again, all you want to do is where it moans like this, you just right-click resolve and say use, and it just adds a using statement for you. It added that using statement there. And that means that now resolves, and Visual Studio knows what that is. So you can see what this is this is a private static property of this class, okay, called client. So what I'm doing is I'm newing up our document client, and I'm keeping that instance alive for the purposes of this application, right? And it's recommended that you do something like this. You can new it up, keep it live, you can cache it, you can set it in your application settings, whatever the case may be, but you ideally want one of these instances for the life of your application, right? It is document client instances thread safe, so you can reuse it and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to create one of these things. You don't want to run this operation here every time you do an operation, right? Because there's this handshake that goes on and there's this whole kind of check your key, check that it's a valid key, you know, that whole handshake, kind of setting up the connection, opening the connection, all of that kind of stuff takes some time, right? And you want to do that once and then kind of keep that connection open. You don't want to keep doing that every time. So that's kind of what I'm doing over there, and that's where I'm setting up the new connection. You can see it's client new connection, endpoint URI, and auth key. Okay, and you can see I'm getting endpoint URI and auth key out of config. So the first thing I want to do is go off to my configuration, okay, and drop it into here. Now, I'm just doing this for development purposes where I'm putting the keys in my config file. Okay, it's probably not recommended to put your keys in here. When I deploy this to Azure websites, where I should actually put this config is in the website's application settings in the portal. Go in there, put the key name in there, put the value in there, and we're good to go. For development purposes, though, I just want to kind of stick it in here. So I have a snippet again of that because I didn't feel like writing that out. But that's basically the endpoint URI. You get that from the portal. Okay, so that there comes from this blade here. There's the URI. There's the primary key over there. Okay, so there's the URI. There's the key over there. And again, I'm using a collection link. Okay, now you'll see I've got a collection set up over here called MVA to do and documents. So this is the collection I'm going to work with. So I could have kind of gone in here and I could have said do that, okay? But now before I can actually use that, I have to go and query for that collection, get it self link. So rather than doing that, I know what that self link is, okay? And there's a couple of ways that you can find that self link. Using DocumentDB Studio, you can kind of come into the collection over here. There's the self link property over there, okay? And that's the self link property that I just copied and stored in my config. Now that I know that, I don't have to query for the database, I don't have to query for the collection, I know the collection's there, I know what a self-link is, and I'm good to go with just that value.
And another nice pattern here is that provisioning happens outside of this website project.
Yeah.
So the good thing is you don't even need to use the master key here, you could just have a resource key that just has permissions to the collection.
Absolutely, yeah. I was just using the master key, right? But you're absolutely correct. You could go in and into DocumentDB, you could create your users, create the permissions for every user, assign those permissions to a collection or to a document or to a set of documents or whatever you want. Absolutely, yeah. So that's that. So my app's going to go off, use the config manager. It's going to read those app settings, and it's going to create me a new instance of the client. Right? One more property that I want to do over here is read out that connection link. So there you go. There I'm actually reading out the connection link again. Got myself a nice little static property. I'm going in there. If it hasn't been read, go into the app settings and read that collection link. Okay. And that's enough for my repository for the moment. So let's change focus and let's go back to the controller and do a little bit of work. So in the item controller, you see here this is the default. This is the get, right? So when I run this thing, it's going to go off and it's going to come in here and it's going to do a get on the controller, and all it's going to do is return the view. Okay, but now you see this view is not doing anything. Okay, it doesn't have any items to actually put on the view. So let's change that and let's put in another snippet of code that will go and do that. So this little snippet of code, it's still that same action result on the index, except this time it uses DocumentDB repository, and I'm just resolving the namespace to do that. And again, on item, resolve the namespace to models, okay? And this thing should have, it's using a method called getItems, all right? I haven't written the getItems method in my repository yet. So let's go back to the repository, and in here, kind of add in that getItems. I just lost my screen. All right, my screen is back. My world went dark for a second, but I'm back. All right, it's like a power outage. That was awesome. All right, so we're going to add in the getItems method in my controller. Okay, and the getItems method in my controller, again, just go resolve some link expression stuff that I'm doing. And there's one special name case, and this kind of catches people out for a while. You'll see I've been right-clicking and saying resolving, right? Now, if I right-click on this one and try go resolve, it goes, well, I actually don't know what that is. I don't know why, but it's a link thing. The namespace that you're looking for is that one, okay? And as soon as I add this extra namespace manually, you'll see create document query is now able to resolve. So all this method's doing is it's saying, hey, client, and it's using capital C, so it's going off and it's using this instance that I'd created and reset up. It's saying, hey, client, go create me a query for a document, and I'm looking and execute this predicate. So where's some predicate? And that predicate is passed in here. So if I go back to my controller, you'll see the predicate that's getting passed in says, where, you know, given an item or given a document, where the document is completed property is not true. Okay, so basically it's saying, hey, get me all items that are marked as incomplete. All right, and that is all the code I need to fire this up. If I was to hit F5 and run this now, I'm still going to end up on this home controller. Okay, and that's because my app is currently configured that the default route is the home controller and the action is index. So I'm going to change this to make the default controller my item controller and the action being index. So now, by default, it'll come in here and it'll run this action, which will then call into my repository and find all incomplete items. So if I run this now, I should get an application that runs, and it will, fingers crossed, give me an empty list. And that's not a problem. It's because there is nothing in my database. And if you don't believe me, I can come here and the database is empty. There are no documents in my collection. Okay? Cool, but it works. So let's go in and let's create a new some new items. So what I need over here is I need some stuff in my controller that says when I click on the create button, what should I do? So come along here and add this little snippet. Okay, now that snippet did two things, which I'll walk you through. The first one says when I run the create action, return me the view for create. Okay. We haven't created the view yet, but I'll get there. The second one says, that view, that view page, when it posts, HTTP post, when it posts back to this controller, then I want you to go and take the stuff off that form, okay? So take the item that came from the form, and then go and execute a method in my repo that says create that item, okay? And once you've created the item, then I want you to redirect back to an action, which is back to the index page. So create an item and then redirect me back to the index page. Okay, so a couple of things are broken here. Right-click on that one, resolve, it wants some tasks. This one won't resolve because we haven't created the method yet. So let's go into the controller, and let's go and create that method. So inside of the repository, again, I have another snippet. Like any good TV chef has, he has a whole bunch of stuff sitting in the oven ready to go. So this one here, there's the create item method. Really nothing complex about the create item method. All it does is call client.createDocument with the collection link and passes in the item. Dead simple. Okay, you cannot get any simpler to create an item than one line of code, okay? Or create the item in your database. So what I need now is I need some views, right? So I've got the controller's done, okay? So there's the controller. The repository's done. Now I need some actual user input. So if I come along to the views folder again and I go right-click, add a view, this time I want to create a view. Look at that. And I want to use the create template. And I want to use my model from before and leave the rest of the stuff the same. Off it goes and it builds a little view for me. Okay. And if I'm just happy with the view as it is, I'm going to go along, hit go. Now what will come up? We'll come up with my empty list page again. There we go. Oh. Actually, it took me to the create form straight away, but it should take me to this page, okay? And I can now say create new, and that was wired up for me by Visual Studio scaffolding. It took me in here. And then I can do how easy is this, and say create. And that will go off, and it'll create the document in my database and return me back to that. And to show you that it's actually created the document in the database, there is the document, and it's exactly what I just put in. Right, and if I actually change this inside here and I change this to true and I save that document again and I come back to my application and I refresh this list, guess what? It's gone, okay? Because this list is only looking for things that are that haven't been done. So if I do that, there are the items back, okay? And you can see it's pretty snappy. I mean, that's created a record. And remember, I'm sitting in Redmond and this database is sitting out in the valley somewhere. So it's gone all the way from Redmond to the valley, created the record and come all the way back in fractions of a second. That's how easy it is to kind of create a record in DocDB, right? Now, to kind of finish this and to show you a little bit more, what we want to do is we want to do a few more things. Okay, so let's go to our controller and I want to be able to edit the record, right? So I've created it, I want to be able to edit it. So let's go and see the snippet for edit, and you'll see it's actually very, 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 very similar to the record for create. Okay? Except I didn't put it inside. It's not a good idea to get rid of the class definition. You should put your methods inside the class. So let's put the snippet inside the class and see what happens that time. It should be a little bit better. I was just wondering what on earth happened. All right, there it is. And again, you see the first action result is edit, and it takes in a string, all right? And that's designed when you're on the grid, you hit edit, it passes the string to this method. This method will kind of do some validation. It'll make sure that you've passed in an ID, okay? Then what it'll do is it'll call into the repo again, and the repo will load an item with a predicate. And this time the predicate says, given a document where document ID matches the ID that was passed in, get me that item, okay? And then basically pass that item onto the view, okay? So there's two things that we need to do. We need to go to our repository and we need to add in the method that calls the get, right? So let's go into the snippets again and go to the get item, okay? And the get item takes in the predicate. Okay, it takes in the generic type, and then it just says, client, create me a document of that type, okay, in that collection, and sorry, this is create document query. So it's create document query for that type in that collection where the predicate and give me back a single record. Okay, so that's get by ID basically is what I've done there. Okay, so that's that. What I now need to do is I need to add another view. Okay, and this time, surprise, surprise, what I'm gonna call my view, it's the edit view, the edit template, uses the model, go, and that's done. Okay. Now, before I run this, I could run this now, but before I run this, let's have a look at what happens when that view posts back. So when that view posts back, notice that it uses this anti-forgery token thing. You can go read up on what anti-forgery token is. And it also, we bind to the properties to make sure that, you know, this is a valid that came from our form and it wasn't a spoof. So it passes in the item. We now need another method in my repo called update item. Okay, so we've got the item, we've passed it to the view, we've made some edits, we've hit the submit button, now we're trying to persist this back into the database. So let's come back to my repo, and we want to add one more snippet that says repo update item. And the first thing the repo update item does is it gets a document by its ID, okay? And it then replaces the document async in the database, okay? So that line of code to update the document. So if I run this now, I should, if I've done everything correctly, hold thumbs, I should be able to edit. I should be able to take this thing, go to edit, see my view. Cool, and say save, and it's done, right? There's my edit is done. And again, if you go back to the database, you refresh this, you find the document, there it is, edited, okay? So as simple as that. Now, you know, the last one that we want to be able to do, how are we doing for time? Ah, we still got lots of time. So if we go to the item controller, the last thing we want to do, the last piece of the puzzle is insert a snippet for deleting. We've got controller details, let's just do details and delete at the same time. They're both very, very simple. So let's just do both of those. So what I've done here, delete is again the same pattern. Okay, take a view, go look up the item, pass it to the view, and then when delete posts back, it calls the delete item method of my repo. Okay, simple. Details just takes an ID, goes off to the repo and gets the item and passes the item to a view. It's dead simple. All right, let's go back to my repo and go and add in another piece of code that goes off and executes the delete. So delete, give me a string, okay? I go look up the document so that I know it's self-link, and then I call delete document async with the self-link, and the document is then deleted, okay? Now what I could do is, you see how I'm doing this? I'm doing a, before I do a delete, I'm taking the ID, the human readable ID, okay, which is this ID over here. Okay, it's not very human readable because I let the system generate one for me, but I could do something like my doc ID, for instance, okay, and save that. Now, I'm taking that ID, which is this ID over here effectively, and then I'm doing a get document by ID, okay, and I'm doing a get document by ID because I want this internal self link. Now, imagine if I had actually on this index page over here, when I display the model, okay, and actually over here, instead of passing in the item ID, okay, imagine if I'd actually persisted the item self link on the form, okay? If I'd persisted the item self link on the form over there, then I wouldn't need this step, okay? Because the ID that would be passed into from the controller into the repo would already be a self link, all right? So by doing that one extra step, by changing that one little piece, so instead of persisting the item ID over here, persist the document self link, okay? Then you can get away from this one extra lookup. And you'll see I do this extra lookup in get document as well, okay? I do the get document first because I'm working with IDs, okay? So if you wanna, if absolute kind of speed and number of network round trips is really important for you, and you wanna get rid of that kind of one extra round trip, that's a way to do it. So cache, like I was caching the collection self-link, actually just cache the and store the document self-link. But I'm okay because I'm in Azure. I'm running in a decent collection. It's not a busy web app. I can afford the extra round trip to the server, and that's a like you showed. That's a pretty lightweight RU cost anyway. That's like an RU of one. So you know we can scenario for that. All right, so that does the delete, the update. I think my repository is done. That should build. The only thing I now need are two extra views. So let's go and add two extra views. Anyone want to guess what I'm going to call this view? Okay, it's obvious. You can call these whatever you want. You don't have to call them what I'm calling them. But, you know. And we create another view. And no prizes for guessing. Right, add that. And we're done. That's all I need. Okay, and if I run this now, I can now have an application. Ah, all right, so this is a slight quirk. You see how it's kind of run and it's failing on a bad request, okay? Now the reason it's doing that is when I launched Visual Studio, I actually had this delete view open, okay? And Visual Studio, when you hit go, it actually takes you directly to that page. And it's the delete view is moaning, saying, hey, you're asking me to delete something, but you're not actually telling me what to delete. So if I go back to the list, you'll see it'll actually now run fine. So there it is. And this one you can actually now see, you can see the details, okay? And because this is a read thing, you can't. But if I wanted to kind of edit it, I could go and say, and save, and it's now done. So I could create another one. Right. And if I now wanted to delete that one, I could go to delete, says, are you sure you want to delete this item? You say delete, and the item's now been deleted. Okay, and if you come back to your database, and we refresh this, you'll see there's the doc ID, okay? And if I actually change that back to false, you'll see, yeah, there you go. So, and I run this again, there it is. So that is a very, very simple ASP.NET web application using DocumentDB. It's taken, sure, I cheated a little bit because I had some pre-coded snippets that I did, but that was just to save you the pain of watching me type and make countless numbers of spelling mistakes. But all in all the magic and all the hard work is actually done inside of this repo. And it might look like a lot of code, but you can see it's 81 lines of code and you have full CRUD operations on your application working, right? Sure, this is the simplest web app that you can ever create, and nobody's probably building simple web apps like this, but you get the idea of how simple, you know, it really is. And what I've really done here is I've tried to make sure that I like using these this generic repository pattern, right? And this thing here you can kind of keep and just recreate because there's nothing specific to the CRUD operation of an item in here. If I had a different kind of item and I wanted to save it, I could go do that. I could come into models, I could create a different kind of model, and I could run through the same repo code to create the same model because it's just passing around .NET's generics.
And you can extend this and do a lot more as well. Now, we looked at server-side programming. We looked at samples like Upsert. Mm-hmm. Now, if you wanted to implement an Upsert, you could add this to the repository.
And yeah, absolutely. So I could do something like, I could say public static, let's do an async. It'll pass back no results, so let's just do that. I could do Upsert item async, right? And you pass me the item, so right. So that would be the method, all right. And what you would do in here is you would actually then say client dot
execute
stored procedure async, all right. And this guy wants, oops, he has, he takes in a value. And you see the response kind of comes back. It wants to know what the response is going to come back as. So this one might have been a bool, okay, to tell you whether it was done.
Yeah.
Or it might actually be the item that comes back, right?
Yeah.
So it may actually be a document that comes back. So execute that. Now it's going to want the stored procedure self link, all right? So so it's going to want, whoops, the sproc link, okay? And then it's going to want any parameters that go into the sproc. So in this case, I'm just going to pass in the item as a parameter. Okay, and done. And now if I wanted, I need to know what that sproc link is. So the easiest way to do that is to kind of say client.create sproc query. Okay, there it is. So I want to look for the sproc. it's going to be in my collection, so pass it the collection link. And I want to know where, so given a Sprock, okay, Sprock.id equals upcert.
But then another, you can cache this as well, just like in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can cache this. Absolutely, I can definitely cache this if I wanted to. So this would be, the result of this would be a stored procedure, Sprock equals, oops. Now, of course, I can't call Sprock like that, so I can just change this.
Yeah.
This is called coding on the fly. This is what I wasn't wanting to do earlier. But Sprock.selflink.
Yeah.
Like you say, what you would actually want to do with this is you'd want to say if this, if Sprock link is null or empty.
Well, yeah, you could even just save it in app settings.
Yeah. So if Sprock is null or empty, Sprock link, and create yourself another kind of whatever, you could cache this wherever you wanted to, right? And then the nice thing is that you'd actually do this up here, and you would say, hey, if I haven't already found the Sprock, go and find the Sprock, okay? So move this code into there, wrap that up in a parentheses like that, and right, that will go and look at it, and then what you would do is you'd say Sprock link equals Sprock.selflink. All right, and then you would just kind of reuse, whoops, and instead of doing that down here, you would do Sprock link, and I don't actually have a Sprock link, so let me just create, this is not, you know. There you go, so something like that. Now, obviously, that's not necessarily thread safe, so what you'd want to do is you'd want to kind of lock on this. Set it, release the lock, that kind of stuff,
yep.
Right? But basically, once I've done that, that would actually go off, it would execute the Sprock, and that would be an await, because it's an async operation, and I'd await on the result of that, and if I wanted to do something with that result, this thing over here would be stored procedure result, response, okay, equals the response of that, and then you can go r dot.
It's a generic, so you just want to off D. It's a.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Ah. Okay. There you go. So that's generally how you would actually do that. Or well, it's probably.
Not. You're returning a document. Stored procedure.
Ah. Okay. No wonder, yeah. So I'm returning a document in the stored procedure. So anyway, I'm a little bit kind of, you'll see over there, the stored procedure is returning a document, and there I'm expecting a bool. So if I change that to bool, that'll now work. Or change this to document, whichever way around, I can't remember which way. An upset will probably return the document, or at least the very ID or something, right?
Yep.
So there you go, that now works. And that'll then execute the store proc. Which is pretty cool. Same as you had, you know, if you wanted to execute a trigger on the create. So let's go and say on the create method over here, where I'm creating the document, right? That's, hang on there, I'm creating the document over there. So now I had a trigger called validate document and I wanted to execute the trigger.
Right.
I'd come in here and I'd actually then go in here and I'd say new request options. And pre-trigger include equals
new list.
What is it?
New list of string.
Oh, that's what it is. New list.
String array. You can just pass a string.
And I can then go and say, hey, my trigger is called validate document. okay? And that'll then go, and while it runs that, it'll execute a pre-trigger. If I wanted to include a post-trigger after I've created the document, I wanted it to run something similar, I would just go and say post-trigger include equals new, well, this one can only be, you can only run one post-trigger, something, some, oops, post-trigger, something like that.
It's also a list.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
A new list of string. Yeah. All right. So now that will execute and it'll fire. Oops. It'll fire that trigger and it'll fire that trigger. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if that trigger doesn't exist, which in my application that trigger doesn't exist, I'm going to get an exception coming back, right? It's going to tell me, hey, I couldn't actually figure that out. Or if something failed in the trigger, then the document wouldn't get created for me, okay? But that's how simple it is to kind of add those things. If I was wanting to include a UDF in here, you would do something like, now I don't know what this one is offhand. Invoke
user defined
function
provider
dot invoke. You'd put in the name of my UDF, UDF. You'd pass in any parameters to the UDF. So in this case, it would be the I don't know, whatever the parameters are. This UDF doesn't have parameters, let's say. And I'd pass in the predicate. So that's how I would kind of then run the UDF. But anyway, you get the idea of how you can kind of extend these things.
That method is also interesting in that if you have a long-running query and it's spanning pages, then you can use the as document query and make this completely asynchronous.
All right, okay. I mean, yeah, that's very true. So you could, what Arvind is talking about here is that that's a very synchronous kind of query. So you could do the same thing. Let's take that, and you then get dot as document query, okay? And you now get on that thing, oops, where you can be able to go execute next async. And you can say while this thing has more results. So you can say while r dot has more results, r dot execute next async await. See, that's why I use snippets, because my typing is terrible. Something
error,
like that.
Error, okay.
Yeah, I'm not in an async method. That's a sync method, so it doesn't know what the heck I'm doing there, so I should probably do something like that. And that's how you would kind of run an async version of that query if you wanted to. And this as document query also allows you to do things like continuation tokens and set number of items per page and all of that kind of stuff. So that's pretty much the application, and we played around a little bit more, adding some showing you how to add some other extra things, which I'm just going to go and remove. Hopefully my app still works after all of those funky changes. Let's see. I think it still works. Maybe. It seems to work. Cool. There you go. So my app is still working. So that's how you kind of add a simple extra code, and then you would just go and you would add in your other CRUD items, build in your business logic, add your store procs, whatever else you wanted to do. And then once you were done with this, you would kind of right-click on that, and you would just say, hey, publish this to Azure for me. And because I signed in, it kind of knows, so I can go along here, and I want to publish to Azure websites. Go along, it loads up my Azure websites. I go pick what I want and hit a couple of buttons, and my website will be up and running in Azure websites. So that's pretty much it. And if we go back to the slides, we have a summary that said, you know, we've just gone through and built a very quick web application. Some tips that we used in there was reuse the document client instance. Okay, so often people say I'm getting really bad performance with DocumentDB, and the very first thing that we notice is that they're doing a document client instance on every request, and that you're going to have, you know, second kind of wait time while that handshake goes on. So make sure that you reuse that kind of client. And then one thing that I spoke about is cache and reuse the collection self-link and document self-link wherever possible. And that'll save you those extra kind of calls to the database. And even if you do those extra calls, like even if you had to go look up the collection self-link because your app created the collection, for instance, even if you have to use that collection self-link, you have to go and look it up, cache it so that you only have to go look it up once, right? Same with a document. You know, you need to go look up the document self-link, but once you've got it, cache it somewhere. You know, maybe think about using them instead of IDs when you're doing forms and that kind of stuff. So if you want to kind of a step-by-step walkthrough of exactly what I've done here, at your own pace and your own speed, there's a very short link that'll take you to this tutorial that's published online. You even have a link at the bottom of the tutorial to download the source code that's on GitHub, and then you'll have the full source code that you can actually take a look at as well. So that's that. Thank you very much for joining me on building a web app. We're going to break for a couple of minutes, and then when we come back, we're going to build a mobile app using DocumentDB. So thank you.